that security. Hallelujah. Let's thank Him together, church, Lord. We do. We thank You, oh God, that we have Your security. We have Your protection. We have the covering of Your provision. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Well, we sense and we feel the blessing and the goodness of being able to lean on those everlasting arms. And I can sense the thankfulness from our hearts tonight. What a blessing, what a covering to be protected, held up, guided by the hands and the arms of the great God and Savior. And I'm thankful that His arms, in one place He said, those arms are beneath us. They're beneath us. So as a child of God, and when we're believing, when we feel like we have hit bottom, it really is not the lowest part of a pit, but underneath are those everlasting arms that really protect us from ever really hitting true bottom. He is there, and not only underneath us, but above us and around us, and the blessing of the Lord. And I'm just inspired tonight by the thanksgiving of my brothers and sisters, realizing just who we have and what we have in Him. Would you praise the Lord another time, however you want to do it, and whatever you want to say about Him. God, this is a personal time, personal praise to You for kindness, salvation, goodness. We thank You, O Lord. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You. We thank You. And God bless you for your faithfulness to God and to His house. And you may be seated. And if you would like to receive a lesson sheet and have not as yet, if you'll just lift your hand and the usher will make sure that you are able to receive a lesson sheet. Before we start into the lesson sheet itself, the actual lesson, God has moved us and set us into a season of faith and the miraculous. I felt the definite direction of the Lord to go into this season, and He's led us into this special time, and in this special time, He will both equip us and empower us to see the manifestation of His power during this season, and not only during this season, but beyond. God does want to display His power. He is ready to display His glory. And He trusts us enough to know that we are not going to assume that that's our power or our glory, but we're going to give Him honor, and we're going to tell others that this is His power. When God does miracles for them, God does miracles for others that they may know, we're going to be able to attribute that to God. So I know that this is a very strategic move by God, the move of His Spirit that He has intended for APC. And so let's pray together. Let's be yielded together. Let's be receptive. Let's believe together in this season of faith and the miraculous. We're going to follow God. We're going to obey Him. And then we're going to reap the benefits that God has planned for us in this realm and in this season of the miraculous. God wants to do it for His church. Now, the definition of a miracle, and there's probably many different definitions. Here's the one I've chosen tonight. Supernatural acts. Supernatural acts cause by, and these last phrases of this clause are important, by the will of God and by the power of God. Now, we know that it's possible for there to be the supernatural by other powers. The magicians that Pharaoh had proved that there is that kind of power also that God would allow. But what we are focusing upon biblically is the supernatural acts that are caused by the will of God. And if a miracle happens, that's by the will of God. And if a miracle happens for you and I, that is by the power of God. And then the definition goes on to say, and those acts contrast to and interrupt the way in which life ordinarily functions. And in many cases, we need a divine interruption. And in cases where we're calling for miracles, we need a divine interruption from the way things would ordinarily play out. If the diagnosis says stage 4 cancer and there aren't many weeks to live, a miracle is a supernatural act that changes what would ordinarily be the diagnosis. And God is still able to do that kind of a work and that kind of a miracle. It's something that is beyond the ordinary, what you would term extraordinary. Now, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, of course, the Old Testament written in the Hebrew language originally, the New Testament Greek, the word that is used for the term miracle comes out to mean, in the Old Testament, a conspicuous token or sign. So when that word is mentioned in the Old Testament, it's in their minds they were referring to a very conspicuous, in other words, it's easily noted, it's very apparent, some kind of token or sign of the a higher power. In the New Testament, the word from miracle is translated abundant power, abundant force or work, abundant strength or might. Any one of those definitions would fit the term miracle or the miraculous. And we know, again, that God is able. So if you have a need tonight, and it's in need of something beyond normal power, God has the abundant power. That's what the miraculous is. And we do go on record tonight. Not only are we studying the miraculous, but APC as a church believes in the miraculous. We do. We believe in that. We are wanting to see that for the glory of God and for the benefit of those who need that miraculous touch in their lives. Now, why study the miraculous? There are probably several reasons. I'll just list a few of the basic ones of the purpose of our focus of why we're focusing on the miraculous now. And for that matter, anytime you study about the miraculous, it will reap these benefits. First of all, it enlarges our view of God. It doesn't enlarge God. He's the same. He's always powerful. But when we hear of another miracle, we just say, wow, God is great. And not that we didn't know that already. And sometimes we hear of healings that we have never heard of before, or miracles we have never heard of before. And so it enlarges our view of God and his power. And it enlarges or increases our faith in him and his power as we study. Now, you not only have to hear a report of miracle for this to happen, but as you read, here's another reason why the reading of the word of the Lord is important. As you read through and read the miracles of Old Testament and New Testament, something will happen in your faith and in your mindset about God. It will enlarge and increase our faith and our view of God. Secondly, it adjusts our views concerning ourselves, concerning humanity and our insignificance. In other words, it humbles us. When you read about the great power of God, when you read about that lady that touches the hem of his garment and the virtue goes out of the Lord, and she had spent all of her living, and for 12 long years she had suffered with this disease, nobody could heal her, none of the doctors, physicians of that day, none of her friends could do it for her, but it took a great and a mighty God. It lets us know, I mean, none of us would claim to be able to do that. Now, we could pray for that person, but it would not be our power. It lets us know that we are very weak when it comes to those kind of things. We realize how weak we are, but then with that, we realize how mighty he is. And we realize that this power is not by our power, but it is by the power of God. Also, when we read about wonders and miracles, and we hear about them, either hear a report of one or hear it taught, it prompts a wonder. He is the wonderful, the scripture says. It prompts a wonder and thus a gratitude. that this one who is so great and mighty would dwell with and in us and show and share his power. So it causes a wonder and a fresh gratitude to happen. I pray, and something that we will have to be aware of, and hopefully this doesn't happen frequently, but there can be a tendency for it to happen. We can be around it so much and hear it so much that we would lose the awe and the wonder of hearing a testimony of the victory and the power of God. You know, sometimes it's not doubt and fear that keeps our praise down. Sometimes it's just being familiar with knowing about those things and hearing those things. But when we focus on the miraculous and we really study it, it prompts a wonder and a gratitude. That's another reason we need to keep rehearsing about the goodness of God and his greatness. It keeps our wonder at a peak. It keeps our gratitude on a cutting edge. And then, of course, focusing and studying about miracles. And we're going to have a week where we talk about Old Testament miracles. There's going to be another time we're going to talk about New Testament and the miracles of Jesus. But focusing and studying about miracles has historical value to it. It has gives theological knowledge, and it has faith value. In other words, we are impacted with a greater faith to expect to see the same kind of miraculous works in our lives and situations. Oftentimes, when we read or we hear about the miraculous, probably an automatic connected thought that comes to us is, I would like to see that happen. Or something similar to that happen, because people need that, and also so that you can be exalted, O Lord. So it has a faith value. So studying about these miracles, I pray that that happens to us tonight. Just any reference to any of these miracles, or just talk, not even naming one, but just talking about God having the power would give us a faith value to begin to expect to see those kind of things happen in our lives and in the situation. In the green box, a very important statement here, which is why it stands out and is highlighted. God wants us to have and develop a mindset of accepting and expecting the miraculous. One of the reasons that is important is because our human default setting will say, and I have heard this said before, when somebody gives a testimony of the miracle working power, whether it's provision or something, oh, I don't know if I really believe that happened. They're probably stretching that. They're probably making something more out of that than what it was. But God wants us to have an attitude of acceptance and not skepticism. Accepting and then expecting the miraculous. And I would probably venture to say, some of us more than others, but those of us that read the we'll believe if they tell us there's how many billion stars up there, but if the sign on the park bench says wet paint, we got to touch it to make sure of it. You know, we're just kind of curious that way. We got to make sure that they're telling us the truth. Well, we can accept and we can expect that God can do the miraculous. And when I talk about accepting it, mainly I'm talking about our mindset and our thinking. In other words, accept what God's word says about the miraculous. You know, I believe God can still send food by a raven. Now, I got some preconditions about that. I want to ask God, is it clean? But God wouldn't send it if it wasn't safe. You know, we just need to erase the skepticism. And just what, not only that, not. Here's a way to erase the skepticism. Put faith in God. Just trust him. Trust him. If he sends it, it's germ-free. And if you get a germ from it, he'll heal. There's just no losing with God. So a mindset of accepting in our thinking the belief in God. Just this week, I received a report from our missionaries in Africa. And I read down through the report, in Tanzania, 78 people were healed in the name of the Lord in various services. In Ghana, in a service, 11 testified of healing. I'm bypassing what we call the greatest miracle right now. There were several baptisms and Holy Ghost infillings in these. I'm just going to focus on the miracle of healing here. In another Ghana report, 11 people were healed by the touch of the Lord. In South Sudan, 78 people were healed by the power of God. In Malawi, 37 testified of the healing power of God. In Equatorial New Guinea, 6 people were healed by the touch and the power of God in services. That's just a little bit of the report of a worldwide power of God that is at work in this time. He's still the God of miracles, and we're going to accept that and believe God and thank Him like we're doing. I think it'd be good to praise You, Lord. We do. We praise You for every healing that was effected here. And all of the details that were changed and that were fixed and new hope that was brought and families that were salvaged and saved. Thank You, O Lord. And then not only accepting it, but expecting that it's going to happen. In other words, living and praying like it can happen. And I want these, the faith of these miracles that I'm studying in the Scripture and these others that I hear, I want it to get inside our minds and get inside our faith to where we believe, hey, 11 people can be healed in this service tonight. And we had it a few months ago in our missions conference where 60 plus people in one service. I'll just admit, I didn't come expecting 60 plus people to be healed. My middle name's Thomas. But that's no big deal with God. I want that mindset of mine to change. That says every sickness, if it's the will of God, could be healed in this service tonight. A mindset of expecting it and accepting it to happen. Believing and thinking and praying and behaving with the expectation, God, You are still able to perform the miraculous and You will continue to show Your power. So studying the Word of God regarding miracles, along with our times of prayer and fasting, help to give us a mindset. So about this purpose and why we're studying, to help us with our mindset and our acceptance and expectation of the miraculous. And God wants to do it. Jesus talked about the miraculous in various places, and He did the miraculous. Our text for tonight, Mark chapter 16 and beginning at verse 15. He says unto them, the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Down to verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. There's no acceptance there as far as, okay, everybody accept. He said, if you believe, these signs shall follow. In My name shall they cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall, notice all the shalls, they shall recover. And then verse 20, the Lord ascends, according to verse 19 and verse 20, and so those disciples went forth, and they did what He said to do in verse 15. They preached everywhere. And the Lord did what He said He would do. The Lord was working with them. That's the kind of ministry a church wants to have, where God can work with you, where God can partner with. That's what we want at APC. We've got to be a church that God can work with. And we're doing that. Working with them. And not only did He do the works, but that was a confirmation of the Word, because the signs were there to show and demonstrate those signs followed. Now, the Word of God is very clear about the importance and the value of the manifestations of the supernatural in and through the church. I know there are some belief systems, some denominations, who no longer believe in the miraculous. They feel like the days of miracles are over and they ended with the apostles. But that is not accurate according to the whole of Scripture. It's God He's very plain. He wants there to be the miraculous in our lives. And it's not for the sake of the spectacular, although it will seem spectacular to people. But we're not doing it for the demonstration of the spectacular. We are doing it for the demonstration of a spectacular God. So it's the will of God that in this day there is a demonstration. That's why we're seeking after this. That's why we're in this season. God's led us here. That's why there's this kind of teaching this month of August. Because this is the will of God that there be a demonstration of wonders, signs, and miracles. It's not out of order at all. In fact, to not have signs, miracles, and wonders is out of order. When God chooses to do that work, we want to allow him to do that work, whether it's when you pray for somebody in your home, pray for somebody on the job, or in your personal prayer time, you pray for somebody that's 100 miles away, and then you get a testimonial, a report, a phone call, or an email that said, God just answered this, God just did this miracle. That's the will of God. God intends for the supernatural to be a part of the church. These signs should follow, Jesus said, the believer. In Jesus' ministry, he kept emphasizing the supernatural, that it would be a part of his kingdom. Matthew 12:28, I don't have this one for the screen, but he said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. In other words, these miraculous signs are an indication that there is true ministry, that the kingdom of God, when you see miracles, that's one of the signs that the true ministry of Jesus Christ is at work. And in these instances, Jesus said that that's going to indicate that the kingdom of God, and there are others, other phrases like that that Jesus uses and teaches, that says when you see miracles, that is a sign and an indicator. Not the only one, not the only one. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. He was saying the miraculous is going to be a part of my ministry while I'm here on the earth, and then it's going to be a part of my ministry through the church. Because we know, here's how this works. Jesus had an earthly ministry, but he still has an earthly ministry, only now he's not here in an earthly body. He's the head and we're the body. And so those miracles flow through the faith of God's people. And as we, as Jesus said there, lay hands on the sick, they do recover. So the miraculous is still a part of this end time church. And then in the book of Acts and in the epistles following the book of Acts, he said, it's my intention. He showed us he wanted the miraculous to be a part of the church. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about the gift. So the gift of the miraculous was given to the church. So of all the gifts that God gave, there were 9 of them in particular, and that he names, but one of those was miracles, or the working of miracles. This is 1 Corinthians 12 and 10. So the gift of the miraculous, and that's what goes in the blank there, the gift of the miraculous is given to the church. And that's told us in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is how much God thought of it. I want to give this as a gift. In other words, I want this incorporated. In another place, he talks about how he has set, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 28, God has set some in the church, and he mentions apostles, prophets, teachers, all of those have to do with the message of the church. After that, the miracles of the church. He said, after that, miracles I have set in the church. So Jesus certainly wanted these signs to follow. And he emphasized it in one particular place during his ministry, John 14, verses 12 through 14, and in particular in verse 12. He said, and greater works than these shall he do. He's talking about the ones who believe in him. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. So it is God's full intention for there to be the miraculous through his church. And now let's narrow that down a little bit. Through Apostolic Pentecostal Church. And we are seeing miracles happen. We are seeing. That's one of the reasons that we ask consistently. And I please continue to do this. Thank you for submitting answers to prayer, victory reports, what God is doing in our midst. He is a great God. Earlier this this year, in the first part of June, Brother Ron Taylor was very, very ill, very sick, a lot of pain. And he couldn't hardly stand without some kind of support. There was a lot of pain in his body. They started him on a treatment that was a drug that cost some $5,000 a month to slow down the disease. It was supposed to work, and it did not work. And he could hardly motivate. He would go to work and then just have to absolutely collapse when he got home. But while watching a church service online, his faith went up. I think it was during a Louisiana camp meeting. He watched some of the messages of that service. He said he felt the touch of God upon his body. And he said they called for prayer in that camp meeting service, and he laid hands. Of course, he wasn't there. This was several hours later. But he laid hands upon himself, and he prayed, just like I was in that service. And he said the touch of God came upon him. He said, I got up Sunday morning. There was no pain to hold me down as there had been every other morning I had been awakened. No need to use any support, a cane or a walker that he had been using. He said, I got up Monday morning, I was sore, but the soreness was not from the disease. The soreness was because of moving muscles he hadn't been able to move for several weeks on end. And there was that soreness. So God could heal all that too, but sometimes maybe it's just a little reminder. Praise God. A little sore. That says, God, I've got this sore because you healed another sore. He's just a great God. And so Sister Smith went for testing on the heart situation. And when she went back for that testing, this was about July 11th. When she went back for that testing, the heart function had improved to 40 to 42%. It had increased a great degree. They did not have to do the surgery that they thought they were going to have to do. And she is testifying and praising the Lord for the healing to her body. And God can do everything you need, Sister Smith. God can do everything you need. All it takes is the faith of the children of God. He is able, and it's His will that the miraculous be a part of the church. Now, in this Mark chapter 16, and Jesus in Corinthians referred to apostles and prophets and teachers being set in the church along with miracles. In God's package deal plan, there is a message and there are the miracles. It's important to keep this in balance and in mind. Message and miracles. Verse 15 in Mark chapter 16, he told them, go preach the gospel. He talked about that he confirmed the word in verse 20. Then he talks about the miraculous there, the signs following. It comes as a package deal. You need the right message, and you need to allow for the miraculous. It's important. A miracle, unless it's the miracle of salvation, and that is a miracle, but a miracle of healing does not save us. And I will also say, and thank God for every miracle that happens due to anybody's faith, but everybody that teaches about the miraculous is not teaching the true message. And if we're going to choose what to believe, it cannot be based on what are the signs and the wonders happening. In fact, in the Old Testament, God addressed that. He said, if you see signs and wonders, you compare that ministry of signs and wonders with my law and the word of God. And many people get confused about this because that is a demonstration and that is a manifestation. I believe it is a manifestation of God, and God in His grace and His goodness and other reasons allows for that to happen. But it would be dangerous to follow some teaching because of the miraculous alone. God gives us that package deal in Scripture all throughout. All situations warrant a message or the Word of God. Some warrant a miracle. Sometimes Jesus only taught. Other times, he taught, healed, and worked miracles. And then at other times, both the message and the miracle is present. The believer and the church should have both. And I think you already get this, but I just want to underline it or highlight it in yellow in our spirits tonight. It's important to have the right message the true doctrine. It doesn't matter how many miracles there are or there are not. The truth is so vital and important. But along with that, there can be and there should be the miraculous. It's important. Notice the way Jesus phrased that in verse 17 of Mark chapter 16. He said, these signs shall follow the believer. That, notice the word follow. It's a key word. Notice that he said they shall follow. This is the proper perspective we should have concerning signs, miracles, and wonders. They are a part and parcel with the experience. They follow. But they are not first in priority, and they are not out front. Our lifestyle is what's first. Our faith, our faithfulness, our holiness, our commitment to God, believing and living out our Christianity and our beliefs first. He said, these signs shall follow the believer. And to qualify as a believer, we must be a true believer. In other words, we are believing it to the extent where we are living it out. It is in our lifestyle. So he wants it to be a part of our lives. What we believe, what we live out, and along with that will come the signs, wonders, and the miraculous. One of the attendant signs and characteristics of the gospel kingdom message of God is miraculous signs and wonders. So our message and our experience should include the supernatural, some things that only God can do. Now, operating with and in the supernatural. God wants us to operate, and we've already established that through Scripture. He wants us to operate in and with the supernatural. If I can, I will help us with this mindset. We should not think that miracles can only flow out of the lives of certain people who have maybe a gift of faith or leadership. Every one of us are believers. So Jesus didn't exclude certain groups of the believer system. He said, it's going to follow believers. So the youngest child can pray for somebody and they can be healed because the power doesn't flow through us anyway. You know what we're saying if we say, well, I could never do that, we're kind of almost acting like, it needs to come through us. It'll come through humanity. No, it'll come through God. That's why all of us can be a vessel through whom a miracle or the miraculous can flow. And God trusts us. I think we need to trust ourselves. It's almost like sometimes we're tentative about praying and believing for a miracle that, oh, I might get too puffed up or I might. Well, there is that possibility. But we need to trust ourselves better, I think. And just trust and know, look, I'm going to give this glory to God. And this person has expressed a need, and God needs to be glorified. So I'm going to pray with and for them on this miracle. And then when it happens, rejoice. Rejoice in God. We've had on our the prayer slide, the screen, and I've referred to it in a message not long ago. Sister Nona Freeman, who has since passed some years ago at a women's conference in Louisiana, as the Spirit of the Lord was moving in one of their services, she was asked if she had a word from the Lord for those ladies, and her word was this: the Lord wants to take the church from the dimension of exuberance. And I'm thankful for the freedom that we have, and she was too, and she was a very free worshiper and an anointed lady of the Spirit where there was demonstration of the Spirit. But she said, God wants to take us from only that dimension of exuberance to the dimension of power. We see exuberance in our services, and we don't want that to stop. But what we do want to have also is a demonstration of the power of God, where somebody gets delivered from their habit. An answer to prayer comes. That's why we're going to do our best, and I haven't done my best, but I want to do my best to celebrate the miracles that are coming in and talk about them and tell them and let people know. In fact, we have it on our service order sheet. We have it below the prayer request so that it's right there for any of us who are leaving service to refer back to these miracles that are happening. God wants to take us to the dimension of power. And then she goes on to say, we do a good job of getting excited and seeing demonstrations, everything that we do, expressions of exuberance and rejoicing. But God also wants us to experience demonstrations of His power or His hand. That's exactly what God wants to do for this generation of His church. Now, there are going to be a lot of results and effects of miracles. Miracles, for one, point and direct people to an experience with God. Many times we pray, and it's a good thing to pray, that while we're praying for a person's miracle, let's say it's for healing, that God, I'm asking for that person's relief. I'm asking for them physically. But I want this to be to lead to an experience with you and a relationship with you. Praise God. Tim and Sandy have expressed this to me. I want Steve to be healed. I love that boy. I want him to be healed of that cancer. And also along with that, they want and we want a renewed experience in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Miracles point and direct people to an experience with Him. Aren't they called signs? What do signs do? They point to things. That's one of the reasons miracles are called a sign. They point to something. And of course, it's not us or our church name. It points to Jesus Christ. We want these signs because they point to Him. And many times in the Gospels, John chapter 2, many believed in His name when they saw the miracles which He did. John 6, a great multitude followed Him because they saw His miracles. Now, it would be good for us to have the right perspective. Let's not get upset because somebody comes to church because they heard about a miracle. It's a sign that's pointed them in the right direction. I mean, I'd rather them be here than in some club somewhere, right? And they chose to come to church because they heard about the miracle or they had the miracle. And so we don't want to put off anybody or dampen anybody's faith to say, oh, the only reason you're here is because of a miracle. That's a great reason to be here. And we leave the rest of it up to God, taking and touching them with His power and His Spirit. Paul was talking about his ministry in Romans 15. He said, I've won over these Gentiles, not only by my message, but through the mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. Those are attention grabbers. You talk about Channel 4 and Channel 5 and Channel 2 and Channel 11 getting their trucks out here. You let some miracles start happening. You let some signs and some conspicuous tokens happen. You let some abundant thing happen, and it is going to grab the attention. And when you start telling your coworkers, when you start telling others, it's going to catch their attention. And they may or may not attend, but one thing, they're going to give attention to God and to His Word when they hear about what has happened in the miraculous. Miracles also authenticate and validate who Jesus is, the Almighty God. And it will authenticate the identity of the church. In other words, it will be more proof of the reality. And in the Gospels and in the book of Acts, when Peter was preaching, he started preaching about Jesus Christ. And he talked about this validation. He said, this is Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, wonders, and signs. In other words, God showing His approval. He's validating who this is, who He was, the Messiah, by the miracles, wonders, and signs. Miracles were a proof or a demonstration that the ministry of Jesus was the work and the power of God, that God was involved. And when those happen, it also identifies and validates the church, who Jesus is and who the church really is. So the miraculous. Nicodemus didn't fully understand who he was. But because of the miracles, he did. The Bible says that Nicodemus came to him, John chapter 3, came to him by night, and he says to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God because no man can do these miracles that you're doing except God be with him. In other words, it authenticated Jesus in the mind of Nicodemus, this scholared man who knew about the law and knew about religion. But when he heard about Jesus, he comes to him. He's a member of the Sanhedrin. He wasn't supposed to be believing in Jesus, but he comes to him kind of undercover. He said, look, what you're doing proves to me who you are because of the miracles. So the miracles and the wonders, God uses them to validate. He uses the message to validate us as a believer, if we believe what he has said. And he uses the miraculous to authenticate and to validate a true believer. Here's another thing that the miraculous does. Miracles confuse and defeat the enemy. The miraculous. When Lazarus was raised from the dead, the chief priests gathered together and the Pharisees, in John 11 it's recorded, and they got their counsel together and they said, what do we? For this man does many miracles. It had them basically at, what can we do, in other words? They were wanting to stop him. But these miracles kept happening, and it kept getting the amazement, and it got the faith of the crowd. You want the enemy to be baffled, you let some miracles start happening. It's proof right here. They said, what are we going to do? They were skeptical of Jesus. They were doubting him. They were attacking him. What are we going to do? And they said in verse 40, if we let him thus alone, they're going to all believe on him. And the Romans are going to come and take our place and our nation. When the lame man was healed in Acts chapter 3, in the following chapter 4 talks about the result. They commanded them to go out of the, they called them into the council. They questioned Peter and John. Then they let them go out. And here's what they said in verse 16. What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them, and it's manifest to everybody in Jerusalem, and we can't deny it. The council that wanted so bad to deny it said, we can't deny it. A miracle has happened. The miraculous will defeat the enemy and will confuse the enemy. And so when God works on our behalf in the miraculous, it benefits us in that way. And miracles exalt the Lord. John chapter 6 and verse 14. When he fed the 5,000, the Bible says, when they had seen this miracle, when they had witnessed this miracle, they said, this is of a truth that prophet that should come into the world. This is the one we've heard prophesied about. They exalted the Lord, and they even tried to make him king at that time. Now, David said about these miracles and wonders in Psalm 150. He said, his mighty acts call for us to exalt, to praise, and give him exaltation. Psalm 150, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. We've done this tonight. We were praising him, and part of our praising and exaltation was about the mighty acts of God and what he had done. Verse 2, praise him for his mighty, in other words, valor and victorious acts, his acts and his help that brought us victory. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. And then he talks about using the instruments, the sound of the trumpet. It's not enough just to have a trumpet. He said, I want the sound of a trumpet. I want there to be some resounding exaltation of the Lord God Almighty, and praise him with timbrel and dance and stringed instruments, loud cymbals, high sound. Let everything that has breath. Why? Because the miracles exalt the Lord God Almighty. You know, if we say, and we say this many times, and it's correct, that the greatest miracle is the salvation of a soul. You know, and it is. God forgives them. Their sins are washed away when they go down in Jesus' name. You know, there's a part of me that I'm just going to be real transparent. Lord, forgive me. I'd kind of like to see those sins going away. I'd just like to see that miracle, but God didn't make that visible. You know, I'd like to see something, you know, smoke coming out. I don't know how God wants to do it. You know, stars flying out, a swoosh or something. But, you know, you just got to believe. But it is a great miracle when God regenerates somebody. God changes us like nothing else can change us. So baptism, and when they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, it's a miracle when we speak in tongues because we didn't learn that language. But it's as the Spirit gives the utterance. Now, if we say that's the greatest miracle, why not ask and believe for what would then be lesser? Healings. If that one's the greatest. But you know what I've found many times? I'm just being very transparent. It's easier for me to believe that somebody's getting their sins washed away than their cancer go away. But if that's the greatest miracle, then I need to believe God for the healing to the cancer, the healing of the tumor in the brain, for whatever other kind of sickness it can be. And it is a, salvation is a miracle. Brother Kevin told me just Sunday morning, Brother Kevin Rooney, he said his nephew Dan, who came to the church here because of Kevin's influence back at 13th and Gravoy, and Dan served the Lord and was very faithful and since has moved away and been married, and he obtained his ministerial license, and Dan is now pastoring in Chatham, Illinois, pastoring a United Pentecostal church. He just sent a note of thanks the other day to our email system, just thanking God for Apostolic Pentecostal Church and thanking you for your acceptance of him when he came in and Kevin brought him in. Now, Dan's mother is Kevin's sister. And Kevin told me Sunday morning, and I wish I would remember to use it in the message about believe anyway. 30 years ago, that sister said, "I will never go to church. I will never do that." 2 weeks ago, she's in service where Dan's pastoring, clapping her hands, tears streaming down her face, being touched by the power and the presence of God. He is a miracle-working God. And we're believing, Brother Kevin, that she comes to the fullness of this experience. God's willing and ready. Sunday night, while the move of the Spirit was going on, and I think it was while the choir was singing, and many of you were responding in faith to God and being touched. I was walking the building, was right back there by the double doors, and Jim comes back there to those doors, and he said, "Would you lay hands upon me, and would you pray?" He had had extreme pain in his eyes throughout the day. Very, very painful. He was in pain at that time, and you could even see it on his expression. The next morning, we didn't get to talk after church. The next morning, he sends me an email. He said, "Last night, within 5 minutes of the prayer, during which I felt a special move, my eyes not only quit hurting, but he had had to put his glasses on because with that hurting, it had caused a blurring in the vision. So he was having to use glasses to have correct vision. He said, "I had to remove my glasses because it was fuzzy with the glasses, because God had touched and healed the eyes." Hallelujah. God is ready. God is doing it. The miraculous, and he can do it for any one of us. Would you keep clapping your hands, but would you stand and give God great praise? Would you give him great praise? Lord, let this exalt you. Let this exalt you, Lord. I thank you that it's for the benefit of those who are helped, saved, and healed. But ultimately, it's for your glory, God. It's for your glory, and that your name would be exalted. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Jesus. We cannot thank you enough. We cannot praise you enough. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Yes, God, you have answered. You will answer. There is nothing impossible with you. There is nothing too hard for you. You are worthy of our breath. You are worthy of our praise, whatever form it takes. You're able. You're able. You're able. Hallelujah. Now, in this season, I just encourage us, and I request of you as a church body, in this season, let's agree together in prayer and fasting and be intentional on your thinking about the miraculous. And then expect it to happen in your daily life. And it's not that we're dependent upon miracles. We got to have one every day to keep us having faith in God. That's not it. But there are needs all around us, and there are needs around us every day. So God can do a miracle on Monday or Thursday or any other day where we're not here. And then when we come to the house of God, come expecting. Also, let me just put this in our hearts. Don't shy away from any disease to pray about that disease. Don't shy away from it. Somebody said we ought to start praying God-sized prayers. Sometimes the size of our prayers is, well, we can help God kind of work this out, and this one won't be too tough. And I believe we ought to pray for everything, small ones or big ones. So don't shy away from any request, big ones or small ones. But because it's long term, God's able to touch Brother Mike McGuire, Sister Sue. And this family is believing God. Sister Sue is holding that faith. This church has held that faith. And I'm going to be transparent. I hesitated just a little bit before I said that. We just need to erase that question factor over what if it doesn't happen? Come on, let's come back to this. We trust God. If it doesn't happen, it's not going to be because of our lack of faith or God's lack of power. It's because this is his plan. We just trust God. We just trust God. But here's one thing we do know. We know he's able. And whatever it is, a tumor or a cancer or some loved one that's in some of the deepest trouble they have ever been in, we believe the Lord and he is able because he's a miracle worker and he can do a sign and a conspicuous token. The more conspicuous the token, the more God gets the glory. And so the challenge, the greater the challenge, the greater the testimony after the challenge is complete. Let's close by thanking the Lord. And I just want to give you for home a prayer assignment to pray for an increase of faith in God and a sensitivity to the move and the Spirit. And God said he has set the miracles in the body. He wants us. So in your personal prayer times, but in this closing time, would you just give thanks to God for who he is, Lord? I praise you as the supreme sovereign God. You are over all. God, you control the nations. You can do miracles among nations. You can do miracles in our culture and in our society. You can do miracles that deal with sicknesses. We believe you and we trust you and we thank you, O Lord. We exalt you in the miracle, O Lord. We exalt you in your wonder and your power. And we thank you tonight for showing that wonder and showing that grace and giving us the opportunity to be involved. And I thank you for what you have done and I thank you for what you are going to do. And we're going to celebrate it, Jesus, in your name. Amen. God bless you. Just a friendly reminder. Send those victories in. Send them in. Write them down. Email them. We'll celebrate them together. God bless you. Greet one another. We'll see you on the weekend.